good news and announcements you wish to share? Oh. Oh, no. Well, that's good. That's good news. Oh, thanks a lot, huh? Yeah. Others? Chris? Yes? Phil? Give us a brief rundown. How was your trip? How'd you do? It was worth it, huh? Oh, glad you're back safe. Chris? $3,016, if I remember right. Oh, it's working now. Yes, Mick and I presented that check to Allie. I don't even remember what day it was this last week, but it was raining, I know that. But it must have been Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday morning. Very appreciative, of course, of the money. Surprised at the amount that we raised with that dinner. But it's a good thing, a good ministry. So it'll be used well, I know. Others? Oh, good. So you've heard from them. If you didn't know, Christian and Ashley are celebrating, I think, their 15th wedding anniversary in New York City. So when did they leave? Friday. And they'll be back. Oh, okay. So where are Jack and Greta and Sam? Okay. Helen. Wow. Okay. Oh, nice. They're having a great summer. Marilyn. Yes, the rumors are still flying around town. We had a wedding rehearsal here Friday night, and one of the people that was here said, "Well, I hear your church is for sale." And I said, "No, that's not right." "Well, that's what I heard out around." I said, "No, that's not quite right." So tried to explain what was happening, but she was relieved, by the way. People are talking, that's for sure. Definitely. Good. Christian, and is it brother-in-law, the choir director? That he played piano for us at Christmas. He's been coming in and going through the music. He comes, his kids are on the swim team here, so he comes up, but drives them up, I think, once or twice a week, at least once a week. But while his kids are swimming, coming here and playing. I think he's playing through every single piece of music you have, because he's been here for like 3 weeks. He was here this last, was it Thursday morning? I believe it was. So I came over for briefly, and I said, "Well, how's it going?" He says, "Well, I'm up to number 167. And I said, "Well, how many are there? 270 some, is that right?" That's what sticks in my mind of pieces of music. Yes. Yes, thank you for doing that. But I said, "Well, are you having any luck?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm finding some that'll work." And he said, "I'm finding some that no, they aren't going to go." But we expect that. But he is wading through it, so we'll expect to see him again. Anything else? I call your attention to the announcements on the back of the bulletin. There's a couple to add to it that we got after publication time. Algona Blood Drive for July. That's looking ahead. It'll be a week from tomorrow at the First United Methodist Church. There'll be one later on, of course, at First Lutheran Church. We have received, the Manson United Church of Christ is closing. They have not held worship for some time now, for probably about 3 or 4 months at least. They're having their decommissioning service next Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. We got an invite to that. I'll be going. I've been asked to be a part of the decommissioning service. But what they've done, decided to do with their building, they used to house a daycare center. They did for years. And then, I won't go into details, but the daycare center left. Let's just say they felt some pressure. But they sold their building to the city for $1, and it will be converted into a permanent daycare for that community. So a good way to use their building. They have a relatively new building. The invitation is posted on the bulletin board outside the sanctuary doors. But remember, Manson had a tornado go through quite a while ago now, and it destroyed their church building, and they built a new one. So, So it's, but that's what's happened. We're invited to be part of that. Starts at 2 o'clock on next Sunday afternoon. There's a new Carter. Yep, we'll get to you. I haven't forgotten. There's Carter Center update, a new one that came in the mail the other day. It's back on the table. And there's a new Holy Humor cartoon on the bulletin board that our son Brendan sent to me yesterday. So take a look at that as well when you're back for coffee, cookies, whatever. Looking at this week coming up, of course, it's the 4th of July week. So it's usually, again, a quiet week, church-wise, but so next Sunday, Communion Sunday, Food Pantry Sunday, as we start the new month of July. As we've been doing the last several weeks, either Sandy or today Chris has been reading one of the letters that we received as a part of our Mahania Scholarship reunion. So I'll invite Chris to come up and share that with us now. Yeah, if they can hear you. Thank you. Now, will those who are able, please stand for the call to worship.
God's way is holy. What God is so great as our God? God works wonders and displays God's glory. How great is our God? God's way is holy. What God is so merciful as our God? God redeems God's people from generation to generation. How merciful is our God? God's way is holy. What God is so just as our God? God hears the cries of the troubled and moves in righteousness. How just is our God? Let's worship our holy God. Our opening hymn is number 84. join together in our opening prayer. God, who journeys with us, we gather together as we follow you. You have made rough ways smooth. You have parted seas. You have given us strength to climb mountains and courage to traverse valleys. We open ourselves to the heartbreak of caring for the world that you love. We claim hope and joy as our inheritance and portion. We remember that you are with us and give you thanks for the journey. Hallelujah and amen.
I'm guessing Luther is comfortable where he is. He looks like he's enjoying his whatever's in there. All right. The red bag, who's guessing today? There's one thing in the red bag. It is not breakable. Larry, brave enough to do it this morning. The key to Fort Knox. This may be the most unique guess we've ever had here. Definitely. Always something. You agree with Larry? It's the key to Fort Knox? Oh, something. Okay. Anybody else? Oh, Chris wants to try. Give it a try. It's something different. But it's not the key to Fort Knox. It's odd. Yes, it is odd shaped. Anybody else before we dig in?
I'm curious.
A figurine with a tail. That's an interesting guess, too. Anybody else? Or is the suspense getting to you? What is it? You're close. But it's not the church. This is a church building. I was reminded of that because, you know, we say, well, we're going to church. Actually, what we're doing on Sunday mornings, we're going to worship. Three weeks ago, I was celebrating the wedding of a couple, Richard and Rebecca Vasquez, out at the Nature Center. And we were sitting, Pam and I were sitting at a table waiting for the time to come to celebrate the service. And one of the little flower girls came up to talk to us. And she asked me, are you the church? And my answer was, yes. I am the church. Pam is the church. Y'all are the church. The church is people, not a building. The church can function perfectly well, believe it or not, without a building. The church does its best ministry when it's out and about. You can use the church building for ministry, but it's important for us to remember that we are the church, not the building itself, as much as we love them. Keep that in mind as we all move forward in ministry together and apart. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the gift of the church, for the gift of the buildings in which we gather. And we don't have to gather in a building. Some of the early Jewish synagogues were out under a tree. Wherever we are, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, the church is there. Help us to be faithful representatives and disciples and ministers of the church, your church, that we represent. Amen.
Jesus has set us free. Free from everything that might detain us, oppress, and derail us. But we should not confuse this with the right to do whatever we wish. We are called to serve others, to share God's hope and God's joy with everyone we meet. Let us confess how we have misused this wonderful gift of grace as we pray together our prayer of confession. Redeeming God, how easily we say we would follow you, but how often we live as if we don't have a clue as to what that means. We choose to gossip about our friends rather than surrounding them with love. Our competitive nature wills us to win at all costs when we could be engaged in costly service. We expect others to do for us and rarely ask what we might do for them. Forgive us, High and Holy One. Set us free to serve in love and compassion. Help us to feast on the fruit the Spirit offers to us. Put us on the path of faithful discipleship as we walk with our Savior Jesus. Friends, call to mind what God has done for us. Think about how God's love comes in fresh and surprising ways. Reflect on the fruit of the Spirit poured out upon us. We will remember all the wonder, all the joy, all the mercy which is ours. From the rich abundance of the Spirit's fruit, we will serve others. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our first reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. When the days for his being taken up were fulfilled, Jesus resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But they would not welcome him, because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to them, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son has nowhere to raise his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But that one replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But Jesus answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To that one Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks at what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." Our affirmation of faith is in your bulletin. Let's rise as you're able as we join together in affirming our faith. We believe Jesus stays with us in the Spirit, who renews our hearts, moves us to faith, leads us in the truth, stands by us in our need, and makes our obedience fresh and vibrant. The Spirit's gifts are here to stay in rich variety, fitting responses to timely needs. We thankfully see each other as gifted members of the fellowship which delights in the creative Spirit's work. The Spirit gives more than enough to each believer for God's praise and our neighbor's welfare.
Our focus scripture for this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, an authentic Paul letter, not a pseudo-Paul letter. It's from the fifth chapter, the first verse, and then verses 15 through 25. And I invite you to listen closely to the words of this portion of Paul's letter, because it spoke to the Galatians and I think it definitely speaks to us now. Jesus has set us free. Free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? My counsel is this. Live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feel the compulsions of selfishness, for there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way, according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit, and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming, yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or be loved. Divided homes and divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions. Ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I have warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? God brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Jesus, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So, Paul tells us that Jesus has set us free to live a free life. He also tells us that it's absolutely clear that God has called us to a free life. As if we needed to be reminded this particular time of the year, this particular week, because Friday's the 4th of July, and we're going to celebrate our free life. But we do need to be reminded again and again and again, because this is God types of freedom that Paul is talking about. Not the world's type of freedom, not our country's type of freedom, although that's important and we have a lot of freedom to celebrate, to lift up and be thankful for. The type of freedom that Paul is talking about is the type of freedom that is gifted to us by God unconditionally. The kind of freedom that Jesus showed us. Freedom is something we cherish, that we lift up with pride. And we like to say on the 4th of July, especially on the 4th of July, around that time as we celebrate our independence and our freedom, that freedom isn't free, and it's not. It's very fragile, because we can use our freedom to liberate, and we can use our freedom to oppress. We can use it in unconstructive ways, destructive ways. We can use it to build up one another and to meet one another's needs. That type of freedom.
is the type that Paul is talking about, the type that meets one another's needs. I ran across a quote from the late philosopher and sociologist, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right or not, Jacques Ellul, a Frenchman. He died back in 1994. But he said that freedom, as children of God, is radical, it's hard, and it's absolute. I wouldn't argue for a moment with any of those three things. The kind of freedom that God offers and calls us to practice is radical. It's hard to do in a world that pronounces otherwise, but it is absolute. We are absolutely called to absolutely follow and participate in the type of freedom that God calls us to. That quote comes from The Ethics of Freedom, one of his books. I'm going to have to look him up and maybe read some of the things. Interesting guy. The Ethics of Freedom. We don't talk about ethics a lot these days. I recall a conversation with someone several years ago, and it was asking me about doing something, and I said, no, that's not ethical for me to do. And the response was, ethics? That's still around? I took a whole semester class on ethics in seminary. Christian freedom is the basics of ethics for us. And Paul says, it's all wrapped up in one little sentence. We know that sentence. We say it a lot. Love others as you love yourself. And that's not hard, easy to do. One of the commentaries I read this past week in preparation for this morning talked about what Christian freedom is not. It's not coerced by some legal demand. We are free from coercion with Christian freedom, and we are free to serve others. Free for serving others, loving others, unconditionally. It's not determined in actions by a response. If we do something and we expect a thank you and don't get it, that's not Christian freedom. We do it as a gift, as grace, not respecting a response. It's not determined by the actions we do and expecting a response from it. And it's not dependent on what Christians do with their freedom. We just do it. Not expecting anything in return. That's the life, the freedom that Paul calls us to, reminds us about. It's a gift. Not earned, it's a gift. A gift of grace. The same commentary that I was reading this past week says that loving service is the proper exercise of freedom. We are free to serve, free to love. Now, before we get too far away in this, it's helpful to know that, yes, there are laws regulating our freedom in our country, there are laws regulating our freedom in Scripture. But remember this, that love doesn't eliminate the law, but confirms and correctly interprets it. I shared this portion of the letter from Paul to the church in Galatia from Eugene Peterson's Message. If you look in more traditional translations, Paul offers the signs that we are following, immersed in the freedom that God calls us to. The signs of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As Paul puts it, there aren't any laws against those things. There never was, there never will be. Evidently, the church in Galatia is a little bit having a struggle understanding and practicing that freedom that God calls them to. Because Paul says, did you catch it? This isn't the first time I've had to tell you. Not for us either. This isn't the first time that we'll be reminded. This isn't the last time that we'll have to be reminded. Because we're free, free to choose. Selfish freedom or service freedom. And you can't do one day and one the other. As Jacques Ellul said, it's absolute. We've heard before, the truth will set you free, right? Well, the fruits of the Spirit will set us free. Let's choose those. Choose the absolute freedom to which God has called us. Amen.
Community prayer, time to lift up those things in prayer before one another and before God that are on our minds, in our hearts. I invite you to lift up those things this morning. Sky. For our homeless brothers, sisters, and siblings, those that are in need of anything that they need to live their lives. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Marilyn. Prayers for Bruce's family and Marilyn's cousin Deb and their children and all of the relatives as they mourn his death. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Phil. Prayers for the Sanssouci family as they mourn the death of Christine's brother. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Marilyn. Prayers for the divisions that exist in our country and for our immigrant brothers and sisters. It's a very difficult time in the life of our, in the history of our country. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. The fourth is Friday, a long weekend. Prayers for safe travels, safe use of fireworks, all of those things as we celebrate our country's birthday. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Some of them are coming. I think it officially, well, it starts, I think, on the 2nd, but Thursday's the opening day. But the people are coming in already. So prayers for Abate as they once again gather in our community to celebrate. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Prayers of thanksgiving for Judy Adams. Catherine shared with me earlier this week that she had talked to Judy, and Judy sounded much better, much stronger, and relieved. Her family, you know, Judy has moved into a care center, and her family has been going through her things and getting rid of some things. And that weighs heavy when that's happening. So we pray a prayer of thanksgiving for Judy as she moves on to the next phase of her life. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Prayers for Nancy Walker. Nancy fell this past week. She was in the hospital for several days. I went to see her on Friday. She has moved yesterday to Good Sam. I do not know if that's permanent or temporary. I'm going to slip out and see Nancy this afternoon. But wasn't made aware. I called Nancy, as I do once a week, and Nancy, in our conversation, said, well, I get to go home in a few days. And I said, well, where are you? And she said, well, I'm in the hospital, which I did not know. But Nancy thought that I had already left the building, I guess, so to speak. So, but prayers for Nancy as she recovers. God, she didn't break anything, by the way. She's fine, but she had some other health issues that they wanted to get stabilized before they moved on. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Prayers for Justin and Kylie Beatty. I celebrated with them and their family and friends a wedding yesterday over at the Shores in Emmitsburg. So they're beginning their married life together. We lift up a prayer for them. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Also prayers for a cousin, cousin-in-law, but we claim him as a cousin. Craig Hammond is his name. Craig was scheduled to go in for a triple bypass surgery this last week, and he did that, but it ended up being quadruple bypass surgery. So Craig is home. He's recovering. He's an avid golfer and not real thrilled that he can't swing a club for at least 6 weeks. So we'll pray for some patience for Craig, too. But thanksgiving that the surgery went well. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. We've had some wonderful rains. We haven't had the heavy rains that some areas of our state have experienced. We also haven't experienced any crop damage, any hail damage. But you don't have to go too far north of here where a really tough, heavy hail out went through about a week ago, I think. I don't know if they've been able to get in and replant or not. Larry, do you know? Most of the bees, because hail at this time of the year is not good. Well, it's not good any time, but we're at the time, if you get much past the 1st of July, don't bother trying to replant, because it's probably not going to make it. But they squeaked in there. So prayers for those folks and farmers anywhere that have suffered crop damage from storms. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us, let us join together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now present our morning offering.
Let's join together in our prayer of dedication. God, our provider, receive these gifts for your creation, for your kingdom, for your glory. Amen. Our closing song is on page number 191. As you can see, we're singing it to the tune of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Are sent forth from this place with power, the power of God's love to share with each and every person, We are sent forth from this place with faith. The faith in the one that we follow, who showed us the way to live a free life. Go forth with joy, go forth with peace and strength to minister to the world. Amen.